12 disciples. And as they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you that one of you will betray me." And being deeply grieved, they each one began to say to him, "Surely not I, Lord." And he answered and said, "He who dipped his hand with me in the bowl is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man is to go, just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." And Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." He said to him, "You have said it yourself." And while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 20 through 29. Please open up with me to hymn number 323. Number 323. Please listen to the word of the Lord as it is presented in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, beginning with verse 17. "And when it was evening, he came with the 12, and as they were reclining at the table and eating, Jesus said, 'Truly I say to you that one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me.' And they began to be grieved and say to him one by one, 'Surely not I.' And he said to them, 'It is one of the 12, one who dips with me in the bowl. For the Son of Man is to go, just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born.' And while they were eating, he took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, 'Take it, this is my body.' And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly, I say to you, I shall never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God.' And after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." You know, as I was preparing my heart for this particular service tonight, I couldn't help but, in going through these passages of Scripture, I couldn't help but be stirred on the inside to think that there was a moment in time when the perfect Son of God, who walked the face of the earth, who healed so many people, who raised the dead, and who cleansed the lepers, who caused the deaf to hear and the blind to see, who made the lame to walk, who went around doing good and explaining to all of the people the love of God and demonstrating that love everywhere that he went. And yet there was one who had walked with him, one who had been with him through so many things, who betrayed him. And you know, both of these passages, the one in Matthew and the one in Mark, call attention to that moment when Jesus reveals who that individual is. And I had to stop and look at my own life and say, Lord, is it I? Are there ways in my life that I betray you? Are there ways that I disappoint you? Are there ways that I'm not faithful or not obedient to you? And you see, later on, after the new church, the New Testament church had been established, and Paul was talking about the abuses that were taking place at the communion supper. And of course, when they did communion back then, there was a big feast that was had, and then that feast, at the close of that, there was the sharing together in communion, a symbol of them being one at heart and one in mind. And Paul writes some interesting things because he was not pleased with what he was seeing. For the rich would only eat with the rich, and they would only eat what the rich brought. And so there was a lot of food for them. The poor ate with the poor, and there was little for them to share. And you know, that's kind of a symbol of our lives. We may be rich in some ways, poor in other ways. We may be rich in our spiritual lives, and some may be poor in their spiritual lives. And they find a division that takes place within the body of Christ. And so Paul, in dealing with that, he said to the people, he says, look, I'm going to give you a little direction here. Eat at home, number one, so that there isn't this opportunity to some to have much and others to have nothing. But come together for communion. And as you come together for communion, let each one take time and let them examine their own life. And in that moment of examination and in that moment of intimacy with God, search yourself. Is it I? Lord, is there some way I betray you? Is there some way in my life that there is a hindrance to the freedom of your word and the sharing of your love and your grace? God, is there something in me? And Paul said, as each has examined himself, not others, but as each has examined himself, let him take and let him eat of that communion bread and wine. Let them take. No one judging one another. Everyone judging themselves. And he goes on to say that when this particular way of doing things is not followed and people begin to judge one another, then they stand in judgment by God. And he said, it's for this reason that many of you are sick. And he said, many have fallen asleep. And there's kind of a double meaning there in the falling asleep. It does mean that some have died because they have taken of communion with an unworthy heart, with an unclean heart, with a heart that's not pure before God and open and transparent. Some have died because of that. But then some have died in their spirits and they've fallen asleep. And there's no passion in them. And there's no openness with God. And there's no genuine fellowship with the brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul said, some have fallen asleep. The purpose of that personal evaluation is to search your own heart before the Lord. And literally ask Him, Lord, is it I? That's what all of the disciples asked on that night that Jesus established communion. When He established that dinner, they were all grieved in their heart and began to ask, Lord, is it I? Do you ever go before the Lord and say, Lord, is there something in me that needs to be removed? Is there something in me that needs to take place so that I can be free before you, clean before you, and in pure fellowship with my brothers and sisters? Self-examination. It's an important thing. We need to continually keep ourselves open before the Lord so that He can check our attitudes, He can check our spirit, He can check the intentions of our hearts, He can keep us examined, fresh, open before Him. This is Holy Week. This is the week that we grieve the intensity of man's evilness. And this is the week that we celebrate God's greatness. Where do we fit? Are we walking in purity before God? Are we open before Him and allowing Him to investigate our lives? What we're going to do at this point is I'm going to ask you to open your hymnals to number 274, and we're going to sing that. And then we're going to just kind of remain quiet before the Lord for a few minutes. And each one of us is going to take time to just search ourselves and to ask the Lord, is it I? Is there something in me, Lord, that hinders you from working in my life the way that you want to? So please join me in singing hymn number 274, Sunday. We looked at the triumph of Jesus coming into Jerusalem, the celebration of the people crying, Hosanna, Hosanna. It's just a few days later, and we're looking at a moment in Jesus' life that had to have been the lowest point that He experienced in His walk on this earth. Probably even lower than the moment of the cross. But it was a time when He had brought those closest to Him together, established this moment, and then asked a very simple thing of them. Would you watch with me? He said, my soul is distressed to the point of death. Would you watch with me? Would you pray? And they wouldn't do it. They just couldn't muster the strength in themselves to faithfully pray with him. And it had to have been at that very moment, as the blood dripped from his forehead as he sweat, and as he pleaded with his father, "Look, if there's another way, let this be accomplished another way. But if there's not, your will be done." There wasn't another way. So he was alone. He was broken. Had the angels not come to minister to him in the garden, his physical body, chances are, never would have made it through the Calvary experience. He was that broken. Jesus needed the encouragement of his disciples at that moment, and he didn't have it. You want to know something? Jesus needs you and I to be faithful to him, to his calling. His calling to us is to be disciples, to carry Jesus Christ out into this world, to lift him up before the world so that the world can find hope and can find salvation for their souls. He needs us to be so yielded to him that whatever he asks us to do, we're willing to do it. And we'll go. As we take communion tonight, and I've talked with four fellows about being ushers, and I'd like them to come forward at this time. But as we take communion this evening, we need to remember that we're not just eating bread. But instead, we are identifying with the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made. We are identifying with his brokenness and demonstrating a willingness to be broken for him as he was broken for us. If called upon to be willing to die for him as he died for us. As we take of the bread, we are remembering that Jesus willingly gave his very life so that we could have salvation. And we're saying in taking communion, "Jesus, I am one with you." That's the purpose of communion. It's that identity and memory of what he went through for us and our identifying with him, that we are with him and that we are together as the body of Christ. And so I encourage you, as you take the elements tonight, to please keep a very serious mind focused upon the great sacrifice that Christ has made for you. And as you take the bread, remember the pain that he went through that you could have eternal life. Let's pray for the bread, and then we're going to distribute it. But I'm going to ask you to wait until everyone has been served, and then we'll take it together. Our gracious Father, we consecrate to you this bread. Lord, we know that bread is a very simple element, but it's a staple. And Lord, you chose bread because it's a universal thing in every society, in every tribe, in every nation. Bread is a universal element. Because you don't want just the rich to be able to do communion, but you want the poor as well. And Lord, you don't want to make it be an element that is of great price to us, but you want it to be an element that is easily accessible to us, just as an identity of how easily accessible you are to us. And so, Jesus, we consecrate this bread to you. We thank you for its significance. We thank you for its accessibility. We thank you for the importance of this moment. And we give you praise. For it's in your glorious name we celebrate this memorial. Amen. This bread is a very basic symbol, but it is a substance of life. The body of Christ was broken in order that we might have life. So I'm going to ask you, as you take of the bread together, to please remember the great sacrifice that Jesus Christ has made for you. Let's take the bread together. The scriptures that we read also said that after supper, Jesus took the cup. And he said, look, this cup is the symbol of my blood, which is shed for you. From the earliest parts in scripture, we find that God is the one who established that there must be a blood sacrifice to cover the sins of man. He established the altar, the place of sacrifice. He established that there would be specific animals that could use their blood to cover the sins of man. Until the perfect Lamb of God could come. Jesus Christ was that perfect Lamb of God. And as he was talking with his followers that night in that upper room, he said, look, this is my blood which is shed for you for the remission of sins for the many. That goes clear down to you and I. Before we pass out the cup, we're going to have a prayer for it. Then you're going to receive the cup. I'm going to ask that you wait until everyone's been served, and then we'll take together. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord, this cup is the symbol of the essence of life. Lord, for life is in the blood. And as you poured out your life on that hill that day, you actually covered all of our sins. You washed away that which was interfering with our life and our relationship with you. And Jesus, you said that every time we take of that cup, that we are showing your death until you come again. And Jesus, tonight, we want to take of that cup in gratitude of your great sacrifice for us. And so, Lord, we consecrate to you this cup. And we ask that as our hearts are strangely drawn to you, and our hearts are strangely drawn to one another, we ask that your Spirit might bless this cup in such a way that we will take with gratitude for your sin-covering blood that was shed for us. And Lord, we'll thank you, for it's in your awesome and holy name we pray. Amen. After supper, Jesus took the cup, and he said, "This is the symbol of my blood shed for you. As often as you drink this cup, remember my death till I come again." And he made an interesting promise at that moment. He said, "I'll never again take of this cup until I take it new with you in my kingdom." As often as we do this, we're identifying with him. But there will come the moment when we'll get to see him face to face. He's the one who will stand at the table and say, "Everybody take their cup." He's the one who will at that moment be the one who leads us in sharing in the bread and in sharing of the cup, and then rejoicing with all of us who have made it home. Until then, we remember his death. I'm going to ask that we take together of this cup in gratitude for what Jesus has done for us and in memory of his shed blood on Calvary's cross. Let's take together. Our gracious Lord, this week, of all weeks in the history of this world, is the most significant week of all. Lord, even though we celebrate the birth of you as a baby, and we celebrate the love of one another at that time, Lord, we realize that the birth was pointed towards the death. And the death is pointed towards our resurrection because of you. And so, Lord, it is with hearts that we grieve, and it's with minds that we rejoice. And Lord, we so look forward to that moment when we dance around your throne, when we cast our crowns before you, when we worship together with all of the hosts of heaven. Lord, when we feast around your tables, when we share with those who have gone before us and those who will follow along after us, and Lord, it's because of this week. Help us to be mindful in our celebrations of what you have experienced for us. And then help us to be committed to you to the point of death, if that's what it takes, that we might identify with you. Lord, I thank you for this body of believers that is assembled here tonight. I thank you for every one of them, for their influence on my life and on the lives of those that they touch day by day. And Lord, I pray that each one of them might be renewed day after day in their spirit. I pray that each one of them would be excited about their faith in you and your trust and confidence in them. And Lord, I pray that each one of them would be quick to share a reason for the hope of eternal life that lies within them, all because of you and what you've done. Now, Lord, thank you. Thank you for these moments that we've been able to have together here tonight. And now may the remainder of our week be filled with the memory of you and your sacrifice. And we'll give you thanks and praise for everything that you do. For it's in your awesome and holy and righteous name that we pray all these things. Amen. Would you please stand and take your hymnals? And in benediction, we're going to sing number 332. I picked this particular song because it's significant to us. Without Jesus Christ, we would be hopeless. Without Jesus Christ, we would be lost. Without Him, our lives would be useless. But with Him, all things are possible. And so let's remember that with Him, we can do all things and be able to accomplish great things for the kingdom of God. Without Him.